All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I want to say thank you again to True Gospel. You've shown us such kindness, not only in my opportunity to be here this time, but every time I've ever had this blessing, this church has been just especially kind to us. And I appreciate your kindness through the years and your continued prayers in our direction. On Wednesday evening, I have opportunity to speak to the church family a little bit. I thank you for the nice place to stay and the way that you take care of us. And I'm very grateful for your ministry in our life. And I want to say thank you as well tonight for those of you who took up the second and third row here, and then Brother Mike, Sister Laura, for taking up the second row here, because my wife normally would have been sitting in one of those places, and tonight you have pressured her to the front row, for which I'm very grateful. It is really, really good that she has to sit front and center. I plan on preaching in that direction tonight, and I'm so thankful my wife is with me. All right. Chapter number 10, verse number 38. Verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The scene intrigues me here, that Jesus Christ, now while passing through this particular region, is invited into the home of Martha and Mary. I find a lot of good things about Martha. I'm glad that she's the kind of woman that she is in many ways. In fact, Jesus seems to appreciate Martha. We find in verse number 38, as I just read for you, that she desires for Jesus to be in her house. I don't know that you can get a much better quality than that. Wouldn't it be good if all of us had a deep-seated desire that Jesus would be in our house? This is Martha's desire, apparently, in verse number 38. She invites him in. She desires him to be there. I'm glad I can tell you that Jesus will come in where he's desired to be. Amen. And then in verse number 40, I just read as well that she has a real servant's heart. The Bible makes it clear that this woman is not a lazy woman. She's quite industrious. She has a desire to serve others. She doesn't just live to herself. Her desire seems to be one that she would keep a house really nice. She would keep the area up as it ought to be. She'd even try to move in the direction of others more, seems like, than in herself. And so in these areas, she's really a wonderful woman.
Yes.
Martha's not to be beat up on at all. However, we'd have to read this text with blinders on to not recognize that the Lord seems to be more appreciative of Mary. Mary's actions in this text and in this scene ought to be applauded greater. Even though Martha's a good woman and Martha seems to have a lot of good qualities, Mary rises higher in this scene. And by the time we get to the closing of the scene, Jesus is now having to speak in a very gentle, rebuking tones to Martha, but very serious as well.
Yes, sir.
That Mary is really doing the better thing. So Mary's actions are raised higher and elevated higher than Martha's. So I'd have to say to you tonight, if I want to find myself being like either one of these two, I'd far rather it be Mary than Martha. And I think everybody in the building would agree with that. I don't find that these are two bad women, but one of them seems to be better than the other. And if you're going to shoot at a mark, you might as well shoot at the highest one. And so if I was going to be able to emulate or be like either one of these, I'd rather my actions be like Mary's actions. There's something in the text that causes Mary to be different than Martha. And I'm afraid that many times we miss it. It's a little small thing called personal worship. Now, she's so moved because Jesus would come into that house that even though I'm sure she's aware of the fact that over in the cupboard she could be straightening up a few items, or maybe the laundry needs to be done, or maybe she could be over here mopping a floor, but it's not often that Jesus comes to her house. It's not often that he gets there and she doesn't want to miss the moment. Now, she's not saying at all that it's not important to keep the cupboard the way it ought to be. Her actions are not indicating that she should sit around every day and never mop the floor. However, her actions are saying that she believes that there are certain priorities in life. And that if it's possible for Jesus now to be in her house, she believes that I ought to be taking advantage of every moment of this time. It's called personal worship. Now, we've gathered together tonight in this place in public worship. I'm thankful for public worship. In fact, I need a lot of public worship. I'm in church almost all the time. And I guess the Lord designed me and put me in the mode in which I travel because he knew I probably needed more church than everybody else. But I need a lot of church. I need to be around worship. It cranks my spiritual battery. It just charges me up. It gets me going. There are many times in my life that I feel a little bit lethargic inside. And I feel like that I don't really want to worship the Lord the way that I know that I should. But I can be driven because of the fact that I know I'm scheduled over here and I need to be in that church service. And I get over there and I'm usually not there very long at all until I'm saying, Lord, thank you for letting me get around a little worship, because it reinvigorates me, helps me, feeds the spiritual man inside of me. But I think all of us would agree that the few times that we get to publicly worship probably is not enough.
You're right.
In fact, that personal, private worship that we're viewing right here in this little home, in this little setting, it is the real difference maker between Mary and Martha. Now, even though we're in a small private setting, personal setting inside these two ladies' home, One of them takes advantage of worship in that private setting, and the other doesn't even recognize the opportunity. Martha is very concerned about how her house is going to appear to the Lord Jesus. She's very concerned about all of the outward activities of trying to make sure everything is set in place. Martha is one who wants the Lord to see her in some kind of light as being one that's tidying up everything and doing everything. She's worried about everybody else's needs. But Mary is willing to admit, I have needs. I'm the one that's really in need. And if Jesus is going to come to my house, I sure do need to be at his feet. I'll get this housework later. I'll take care of that other stuff later. This is no license to be lazy. But what it is saying is that first things first. When we have opportunity to ingratiate another day, to embrace another morning, to see the sun come up on another day, it sure would be far better if we'd spend some personal time with Jesus before we try to go work on the car, before we try to plow the field, before we try to go down to the place of business. We need that time of worship. That personal worship. This is such a difference maker in our lives that it completely gives us now two different women. The only thing you can find in this text that is different between these two women is that one of them worships and the other does not. Even with Jesus in close proximity, even with Jesus in the house, I've been shocked so many times, and I told you I'm in church all the time. I've been shocked at how many times I can see people in a congregation, and man, they're just worshiping, praising God. It's like they get caught up in their own little world. And you have in that same room people who are sitting there, completely uninterested. Does that not amaze you? It amazes me. I'd always thought, well, if I could get certain people just in the right environment, then I know it'd be a difference maker for their lives. You can't get a better environment than Jesus knocking on your door, and they open the door, and Martha standing there said, oh, it's Jesus, come in.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus walks in the house, and Martha says, I need to get a cake of cornbread going. Jesus sits down here on the little piece of furniture, and Mary falls to her knees. And Mary begins to worship. The only difference you can find in the whole text, study it as closely as you want to, go home tonight, do your due diligence and find everything out about the text. The only difference maker in the text is that one woman worships, the other woman doesn't. And the woman who doesn't worship at the end of the text, you just told me earlier, you nodded your head with me, that's not the woman I want to be.
That's right. You're right.
The woman who did worship is the woman that all of us said we'd rather be at the end of the text. And it's the only difference maker. I want to show you just a few quick things in this text, if I could. In verse number 40, look at this, if you would. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? How many of us in the building have had moments when we just felt like that the Lord's not really thinking about me? I know he thinks about the preacher. And I know he thinks about the deacons. And I know he thinks about Sister So-and-so because I see it on her face. He must really thought about her a lot. Seems like he ignites her a little bit, but the Lord just doesn't think about me. This self-centered, pity me spirit that has now come over Martha, I have been there far too many times myself. And I believe, according to this text, that one thing that will drive that out of my life would just be worship.
Yes, sir.
I do not find Mary saying, "Oh Lord, why don't you care about me?"
Oh, yes.
She does. That never even enters her mind. So the real cure for each and every one of us going through those bad days when we think, "Lord, why don't you care about me? Why don't you care about me? Maybe I should have gotten up a few minutes earlier, got at the feet of Jesus, worshiped a little bit that morning. And if I worshiped a little bit that morning, maybe it would have driven away that old spirit that envelops me sometimes that says, Lord, I don't know why you care about everybody else, but you don't. It's obvious, Lord, you don't care about me. It's obvious. Have you not even seen what's going on here, Lord?" says Martha.
Oh, my.
"Yeah, you must really love Mary, but
yes, sir.
Why don't you love me? Why don't you try to act like Mary?" So, each and every one of us can be helped, I'm sure, by some personal worship. And it may drive this old spirit that so torments us. Aren't you tormented when you begin feeling that way? Seems like the devil takes full advantage of it, and just an enormous amount of frustration comes over us. We want to say, "I don't know why that everybody else is getting treated so good and I'm not. But if I spend a little time with Jesus, I probably won't even care." Verse number 40 as well. Notice this. If I have a little time with worship, I believe that it could stop me from becoming a complainer. Verse number 40 again. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Nobody told her to do this. "Martha, I want to talk with you. Now, I want to be as calm and as sweet as I can." Nobody told you you had to scrub the walls now. What is it internally about you that cares more about keeping this outside clean in this living space instead of worshiping Jesus? "But I didn't tell you to do it. Don't get mad at me. If I'd been Mary, these sibling rivalries, I'd have probably had to look at her and said, 'I didn't tell you you had to go do all of that.'" But because she is doing all of that, and because she's not at the feet of Jesus, she's overtaken by a complaining spirit. A complaining spirit. I've been amazed. I pastored the same church for 40 years and it about killed me, so I had to quit. No. No, it didn't. I'm telling you, what a wonderful trip. God's been good to me. I can't believe you let me pastor that long. I pastored the same church for 40 years. I have yet to find anybody that was ever a member of the First Baptist Church who would plug in to real worship and really get at the feet of Jesus and at the same time want a meeting with me in my office because they're complaining about how something's going.
Yes,
sir. I've yet to find it. Darn, it hadn't happened. But those who are like Martha, now we need them. Man, they're workers.
You're right.
They've got it going on. They're industrious. But they haven't been with Jesus in a long time. And so it's easy for us to complain. If I let this world get me so busy that I don't spend time at the feet of Jesus, I promise you I'll become the worst complainer in the world. When I get around preacher friends, and those preacher friends begin to complain about how the state of affairs in all of our churches, complain about all the problems that we have, and buddy, we have them, don't we? Complain about everything going on. I recognize that my preacher friend, bless his heart, he did not spend time with Jesus this morning.
You're right.
That complaining spirit will eat us alive if we don't learn to worship. I'm going to have to put priorities in my life. I'm going to have to say, now I need to spend a little time with Jesus every morning early before I spend time with anybody else. Personal worship is the only thing that made the difference. Also in verse number 40, and I realize here that we're running close to twins. This is almost like twins. A complaining spirit. But I have to put this in here because it's an addition to the complaining spirit that I don't want to become part of my fabric in my life. It's a critical spirit. A critical spirit is a complaining spirit on steroids. But now it eats up Martha. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Do you not care at all? Now, I am willing now not only to not worship Jesus, but to criticize Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, I'm a long ways out there when I can get critical of Jesus. But could I give you a little thought tonight? If I get in such bad shape that I'm willing to criticize the bride of Christ, then I'm criticizing Christ. If I get to where I'm criticizing the church that Jesus died for, then I'm criticizing Jesus. When I'm criticizing God's man that the Lord sent into the fields, then I'm criticizing Jesus. When I'm criticizing the least of the children of God, I'm criticizing a portion of God. I'm in Him, He's in me, the hope of glory. I can become just as critical as the next man. I don't know if I could ever get as critical as some women I've known, but I can get as critical as the next man. And you know that each and every one of us can do this. We can fall into that mode. It can wrap us up. It can eat us up. I don't want to live there. I don't want that to be my legacy. They're going to remember me for something. I do not want to be remembered for critiquing everybody and everything. And if that's going to be ferreted out of my life, then I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. You see, it's not all that complicated. We're not going to have to go to the university to get this. We're just going to have to get close to Jesus because the Spirit of Jesus is never a critical one. And the closer I get to Him, if I spend a little time in personal worship, it's amazing. I'll come out of there, and even the sorriest person around, even the sorriest one around, it seems like maybe I can find something good about them. Maybe their breath doesn't stink. Today. If we get with Jesus, it will change everything. It did for Mary. It's the only difference in these two women that I find in the text. So personal worship will drive away that critical spirit. And then in verse number 41, personal worship helps keep us from being internally troubled or aggravated. Now, I've been talking about the externals. God, help me to speak for a moment about the internal. And all of us need this. What a vicious world we live in. And it is so easy for me to become internally agitated. In verse number 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. I have a couple of my little granddaughters that when they get wired just right, I'll have to say to them, faith, faith. I'll have to look at them and say, hope, hope. And that's what the Lord's having to do now with Martha. Because he has to get beyond that anger, beyond that aggression that's inside, that has built up inside of her. She is internally agitated. I don't know that there's anybody in this building that knows any more about internal agitation than I knew in my youth. My whole world was a wreck. It was an absolute disaster, a train wreck early on. And I could not figure out why I was so angry. I was angry at the world. I was angry at God. Every guidance counselor in every school that I attended in Forsyth County would try to figure me out. I became their subject matter. They would analyze me. One of them had me drawing stick men. You're in bad shape when you start drawing stick men. But I had this internal agitation that could never be dealt with. Now the Lord's having to say to Martha here, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. The word careful means you are just overly anxious. Right now, you are thinking, my, I need some volume. Because inside you're running 1,000 miles an hour, and everybody you're viewing out here, they're not on the same pace with you. And even that makes you mad. You're internally aggravated and troubled. I'm telling you, there's something better than volume. It's that personal worship with the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's breaking away on that time in your life where you say, it's so important for me to be running and doing here and going there and getting this done and getting that done. And you say, but wait a minute, I forsook getting to the feet of Jesus first. And you finally break away from this busyness and that business. And if you can't break away from it, you force yourself to get up a little earlier because of the importance of it. If this world can't gin you up now, you can't be ginned up.
You're right.
They have us wired tight as a banjo string. If you listen to that 24-hour news cycle, and you know how bad this crazy world is, and you look at that nonsense over there in France, I wouldn't have wanted to have been on the same continent with that God-hating crowd. Well, if he wasn't so merciful, he'd have rained fire and brimstone again. I don't want to be anywhere around them. No, have it your way. Just go ahead, fly in the face of God, mock him, do whatever you want to do. But you rest assured of this. There's a God in heaven who's very much aware of it all. And he is going to deal with it. But now let me ask you, does he want me to be constantly wired up about all this to where I can't even enjoy a good relationship with my wife, to where when she says to me, darling, what do you want for breakfast? I say, I don't know. And I'm just an old spirit of aggression all the time. and don't have a friend, don't have a life. And even that makes you mad and you say, I don't care. You've lived with that too long. It is destroying you, and you know it's destroying you. You need a little dose of peace. If you're born again, you can get it at the feet of Jesus. If you're not born again, you can get it at the feet of Jesus. I'm just telling you tonight, it's a horrible thing to live with an agitated spirit. You don't have to live with that. You don't have to be tore up all your life. You don't have to go around being angry, mad, frustrated. A little bit of worship takes care of it. By the way, you don't see Mary down here looking around when Martha starts all of this. She has to be. They're in the same house. They're in the same house. She knows my sister's ratting me out. My sister is speaking to Jesus about me. But she doesn't whirl her head up there and say, you ugly rascal, you wicked devil, go to your room. No, her spirit's calm. Her spirit's calm. She's enjoying her life. She's all right. Martha, you the one got the problem, girl. I'm sorry for you, but you're going to sweat it out somewhere else. You're not taking my joy. Mary found peace at the feet of Jesus. I can and you can. That personal worship will drive that old horrible, angry spirit out of your world. Verse number 41 as well. Personal worship can keep us from having to receive rebuke from our Lord. I don't know exactly how Martha received this, and there's some tonight that even though the Lord has graciously just given this gentle rebuke that comes with this text, there's some in the building tonight that are being rebuked by the text. And I have no earthly idea of knowing who you would be, and I have no earthly idea how Martha received this, but she did get rebuked by Jesus. Jesus let her know, Martha, you brought your agitated self in here in my face. You've messed up this moment here. Let me just tell you, if I'm pleased with one of the two of you, it's Mary. I don't know what that did to Martha. The Bible doesn't tell us. I don't know if she blew a gasket. I don't know if she pitched one of her tantrums and went back into the back room and broke a few pieces of furniture. I don't know what she did. Have no earthly idea. But I will say this. If I will have personal worship, I'll receive much less rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I have never enjoyed being rebuked by anybody, but I have never enjoyed being rebuked by Jesus. Even if it's that gentlemanly rebuke like Jesus gives, if it's that kindness of the Lord, it still doesn't feel good to me now. It has left me through the years when He's had to rebuke me, it has left me in a puddle of tears. He's always been a gentleman about it. He's always loved me, even though He was rebuking me. But it's left me just crushed and broken. I don't know how it left Martha, but I know how it leaves me. And I don't like that. I don't want to be around that. I would be happy to live the rest of my life and never have to get another rebuke from the Lord. The best avenue to keep me from being rebuked more by the Lord is personal worship. Personal worship. The closer I can stay to Him, the closer I can get to Him, the more that I can just worship at His feet will cause me to be in a safe zone to where I'm not having to be convicted and rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons that the Marthas of the world stay so agitated is because they have been rebuked and they've never dealt with it. Never dealt with it. One way to get rid of all of this now and get on that good road is worship. Both of these women, I believe, are going to heaven. Both of these women are going to heaven. One of them's going to heaven in an enjoyable way. And the other one's fussing her way all the way to heaven. She just irritated and fussing her way to heaven. Tonight, if you're here and you're not born again, you need to get to Jesus to know the peacemaker, the peace giver. But if you're born again tonight, we still need to get to Jesus, because He is the peace giver. And He can be pleased with us instead of having to rebuke us. The last thing I notice is in verse number 42. Personal worship gives us some internal, eternal benefits. I've mentioned the internal benefits. Now I'm telling you there are eternal benefits to personal worship. Look at verse number 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I don't think this is possible, but it could be. Just for purpose of illustration, that in my mind, I think about walking into heaven. Both these women are already there now. And I walk into heaven and I say, well, hello, Martha. How are you today? And she says, that's none of your business. I'm sweeping the floor. And I say, well, okay. And Mary, how are you? Oh, heaven is wonderful.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I know that's not going to happen when I get there. But if I'm reading my text right, there are benefits to worshiping, personal worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are benefits here that will last over into heaven. I'm assuming that there are maybe even some shadowed thoughts here about that judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat.
Yes, sir.
Where it is very possible that Martha's going to hear about all this again.
Yes, sir.
But Mary, that worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and that spirit that wants to worship Him now transfers into eternal matters. Better for you here, better for us there.
Amen.
It's just a good way to live. Just a good way to live. Now, for all of us that are born again, we should know the importance of that personal worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, I'm telling you, there is one that even though you're yet a sinner, Christ died for you.
Amen.
And He loves you. And as angry, as upset, as vicious as you may feel inside, as fractured as you may be, I'm telling you, He desires for you to come. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, because I have some rest for you, I have peace for you. It's the goodness of God that bringeth men to repentance. Men tonight are running to and fro in the world because they cannot find peace anywhere. They are completely absent of peace, and they continue to run and search, and they chase this, they chase that. They're trying this thing, that thing. They're never satisfied. And as long as they refuse Jesus Christ and stay obstinate, they will never be satisfied. But if they ever come to the satisfier, to Jesus, then they will learn the value of being at the feet of Christ. And oh, that we who are born again would learn our lesson well.
Yes.
That a one-time trip is not a good thing. This ought to begin a steady action in our lives.
You're right.
That we would come daily to the Lord Jesus Christ and worship Him.
You're right.
He's worthy of our worship. I'm trying to help you where you won't be so frustrated, where you won't have to have so many pills. There is a good life that can be lived. But it's always going to be at the feet of Jesus. Please stand them through preaching. Heads are bowed.